Hey Fadies, I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 5, Episode 3 of The Fate of Ison. Thanks for listening, it is wicked sweet to have you along with us. The Apple Squaddeth are well and truly back in action, and this episode they're joined by a very interesting new friend played by Wellington comedian Jules Daniel. That's right, we've now got two Juleses on the podcast. We just had our live shows in Wellington in the days leading up to this episode's release, and oh man, they were awesome. Thank you to all the amazing people who came out to see our faces, hear our jokes, and taste our chaos. Taste the chaos. The recordings of those live episodes will be released in the coming weeks as Chapter 5, Episodes 4 and 5. Right, what happened last time, you ask? Well, here's the recap. Banfor and Marley were summoned to the center of Stonemaw by an angry human man named Ben Edwards. Fueled by some kind of vengeful spirit, Ben was hell-bent on enacting his own personal vendetta on the Apple Squaddeth for causing the riots in Dantonair and destroying his lifelong dream, owning a food wagon. They fought in the busy city centre and a number of spectators perished, but in the end the Squaddeth was victorious. In the immediate wake of the battle, a large flying shape approached from the distance.
So do we have a new character coming in?
If they like it.
Oh, cool.
If they decide that we're not terrible to play with.
If they don't Ella and Windrush us.
Yeah, if they don't join us and leave.
It's okay, so Jules... I also have abandonment issues.
Oh, good, you'll be with us forever.
It shows silence.
And Oliver's shirt is gone.
And Oliver's naked again.
If you're concerned about the shirt, I have really bad news for you about my pants.
God.
It's so hot here. It's still like 27 degrees. It's really not fun.
No.
So this is going to happen, and I'll just dangle this up a bit.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that I'm wearing a deep V, shall we?
Just
the deepest V. Top.
As you know, there's video running.
Yes. Okay, is there video running? Okay, good. I'll just be ahead.
At the moment, I'm not doing anything with the videos because I'm too damn busy to actually edit the videos, but I've still got them running.
Alrighty, let's just crack into something, whatever this is. So, hey, everybody, this is The Fate of Ison, Chapter 5, Episode 3. The Apple Squaddeth has recently returned to action. To very quickly summarize what has gone on is after the events at the end of Chapter 3, they had a bit of sort of downtime, I guess. They had a week time skip, during which time Banfor essentially made himself king of the Vice District of Stonemaw, controlling basically a fifth of the largest city in the world. Whereas Marley did kind of the opposite and gave herself the quiet life in the way of looking after the Necro/Poticon Inn to sort of remind herself of the tap room that she helped run with her family back on their cider orchard.
Don't forget, while also going on a massive run for the Queen from a political advertising.
That too. At the end of this week of sort of R&R and self-care, hashtag self-care, they eventually got word of somebody standing in the center of town calling them out very loudly and spectacularly, meaning that it was a spectacle, not that it was great. It was a human man called Ben Edwards, who, when they finally arrived, announced that he had been sort of possessed by a spirit that was hell-bent on getting revenge for all of the chaos and destruction that they cause in their wake, including destroying his lifelong dream, the food cart that he ran in Dantonair, that was destroyed by the concert. Destroyed by the concert that Marley created and that Banfor turned into a drug-addled circus.
There are regrets on that.
I'm not seeing any problems, but that's cool.
At the end of this fight with Ben Edwards, you killed his human body and you got some kind of inkling that maybe the spirit of vengeance that was possessing him either dissipated or left. In the immediate wake, a giant flying creature appeared on the horizon, and it landed in your midst, and it was a huge wolf with giant eagle wings, which is Hodge 2.0, which is the resurrected, new and improved version of Marley's animal companion wolf, Hodge.
I'm so excited to see Hodge again.
There is a large crowd that was around the spectacle of the fight with Ben Edwards. They have given themselves a very large radius around you and this enormous wolf, which could comfortably have two people riding on its back. Hint, hint. if needs be. And what you don't realize, though, is that Hodge the wolf whisked something into being alongside him.
No.
Bum, bum. So
we don't know that, clearly. You just drop some meta knowledge on us.
You're about to learn it, because JD, why don't you introduce us to yourself and the character that has just appeared in their midst that they are currently unaware of?
Like my human self, or just the D&D character?
one then the other. Unless
one then the other, both.
Yeah.
Fucking Alistos. Hi, I'm also a Jules, so I'm going to go by JD because that just feels simpler. I do comedy here in Wellington as well. I'm queer and trans and apparently funny. my character is I'm a cloud demon. Hello. that's what you're seeing.
So we're seeing clouds? I'm confused. What do you look like?
Like a corporeal form is so, you know, last year. so I'm just like an amalgamation of some gases because I thought that was pretty chic.
So am I.
yeah, shaped sort of like a demon, like what you'd imagine a demon looks like, horns and stuff, but clouds.
Cool. I'm into it. I think that looks cool.
And your cloud demon's name is?
Right, well, I mean, do any of you speak Infernal?
I do.
No,
great.
I don't.
Hold on.
Because Infernal.
Check this. No, Abyssal. Sorry.
Okay. Because in Infernal, it's like... but, I guess in your common tongue. Yeah, it's like, Arcus. Yeah.
Cool.
Roman mythology, I believe, goddess of like wind or something, a bridge between gods and humans, something like
wow.
that.
I mean, a little Aeolus, bit of like it's Latin for a bow, I'm pretty sure, or like archery. But it's also like a type of cloud formation.
Oh, okay, cool.
Cool.
That is very cool. Yes, so. What none of you know, including Arcus, is that so when Hodge's soul was sort of being forcibly dragged back to the material realm after his wolf body died, it was sort of being thrown around between all the a lot of various sub-realms and sort of collecting up bits and pieces of other dead creatures as it went. And as it passed through the realm that Arcus is from, which I will let JD decide, it will be a combination of like elements and weather plus some other facet of the gods, which you can either decide now or at a later date. So it could be something like death, chaos, life, community, any of the gods. But mostly elements and weather. As Hodge's soul whisked through that realm, attached to it, just because it happened to be sort of wisping by at the time, Arcus just sort of got dragged into the material realm with Hodge's reborn body. And so Hodge flies down and lands in your midst, and what you don't immediately recognize is there is sort of this cloudy form that sort of drags in with him and then begins to form up in the town square right in front of your eyes.
I think we left Marley squealing. So Marley's gonna stop squealing.
What's happening? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And then go. It's alive! And then run screaming to Hodge to give him the big old
Bamfor's.
That's instantly what's gonna happen.
Look over, sort of slightly contemptuously, and just mutter, oh, "It's alive, eh?"
Okay.
Not a big fan of composite creatures. Fan for what?
Does Hodge look like complete? Like, has he got like, you know, I'm imagining like not the monsters like sewn together.
You call a dog with nuts a complete male.
He looks like he is a complete creature. He is not manufactured. Okay. He looks like he has been built like this, but built well.
Yeah, cool. So not balls. Like sewn together with pieces. Cool. Okay. So Marley is just hugging him so tight and is just like so pleased to see him. Also taking into the fact that it's a lot harder to hug him now. Because he's a lot huge.
So he's horse size or bigger than a horse?
Like a large horse, like a war horse.
Like a Clydesdale.
A very big horse, yeah.
Like a very big boy.
And as I'm doing that, obviously there's this cloudy thing, and I go to like push my hand through it to be like, well, that's weird. You don't see clouds down this low usually.
Rude.
Yeah. And then I, like, having seen this as, like, my first thing on this plane, go in for a hug. Because that's all I've seen.
Can I feel that? Yeah. Like, is it, like, hugging, like, water? Will my arms go right through? Or, like, do you have shape I can hold? You know? Because I would. I'd just hug as well. Because I'm just in a huggy mood right now.
Surely I've got, like, cotton candy consistency, right?
Cool. Well, I mean, I guess you're deciding, so...
I can be dense. You ever been in, like, a thick fog and you can feel it?
Yeah.
Thick with two C's. Yeah, I know what you mean. What up?
I was like, dense doesn't have two C's.
It does if you can't spell
it. I was being dense.
Yeah, so I hug back, and then I'm confused as to why I'm hugging a cloud, and I'm like, wait, what? I sort of, hello?
I'm just sitting in it. I'm enjoying the moment.
Cool.
Banfor,
I'm hugging a cloud.
Banfor, halfway down something smoky, replies, as am I. and wanders over and sort of tries to waft a hand through the new arrival.
I like this both of our reactions.
Wafty, wafty, waft, waft, waft.
I feel like it crosses some sort of social etiquette to put your hand through someone.
That's generally across cultures, even amongst humans.
It's not just a cloud thing.
No, I mean, within human culture, it's...
So generally frowned upon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to know that our two communities have a lot in common.
Wow.
Shouldn't put your hand through a person. One. Two, use the utensils from the outside in.
Oh, outside in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I will point out two things. One, Arcus knows nothing of the material realm. They have never been here ever. This is their first experience here.
Cool.
And two, I've forgotten what the second thing was.
Brad is good at remembering things. Two.
Technically, you did have 2 points. One of them was just pointless. Well, that's very cool. I mean, strange whatnots and happenings pop up fairly frequently. So I don't know that Banfor's taking a particular interest.
Yeah.
As it's not really... edible or killable or I mean, like, readily no. So
Banfor, this thing is hugging me back.
Well, I mean, it seems nice. What do you want me to do here?
It does seem friendly. I'm just confused. It hasn't really seen anything.
Banfor questioningly stabs it.
Ow.
Okay, so
I think you're hurting it.
Poke, poke, poke.
I think you're hurting it.
Banfor, make a dagger attack against Arcus's AC. We're in combat now.
I feel like we just had a discussion about not putting things into people.
No, it's like we said about putting things through people. This is just investigation. That's a 9, luckily.
With the pointy end.
I'm calling that an unarmed strike, and that's a 9 to hit. That's a 9.
Okay, what's Arcus's AC?
That's such a good question. 12.
Thank you for asking it.
12, so not a hit. Cool. Good. But somehow you missed the cloud.
See, now, so I think Atkins just feels like now you're going in for a hug. Because I still don't really understand what's happening.
Oh,
so, like,
a knife hug!
Yeah, pull you in for a knife hug.
Aww.
It's a knife
hug. And I'm like, see? It hugs! It hugs, baby!
Why does it hug? Why does it do that? Stop this. This is not... I don't want it. Stop it.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
The wind seemed to whisper. Moistly in his ear.
Oh, great.
It more sort of struggles like a cat when you pick it up from the top. And sort of has his arms out longwards like a similarly picked up cat and is obviously uncomfortable.
Can we get merch that says I'm coming in for a knife hug?
It's your old pal coming in for a knife hug.
The other point I wanted to make, I have remembered it now, is that you guys, you, Banfor and Marley, met a cloud demon only a week ago, and tell Arcus, or tell JD at least, out of game, how that went.
Oh, it was fine. Everyone had a good time. there was a moment or two where it may have been forced inside of one of us, then... similarly forced to exit in a way that was internally pleasurable for that same person.
Mm-hmm.
So much
for the cloud demon, can I just point out?
Oh, look, it was also quite naive about the world, but not for that long.
So,
it learned quickly.
Banfor encouraged the cloud demon to go inside him to, like, have a look around inside there, but then shut all of the holes in the mouth
except
area,
for
forcing him to go out the other way.
Elsewhere.
Ah.
Tell you what, you've never felt so clean. Or so dirty. In the best way.
So he probably won't make that mistake again, but I'm just letting you know that's what happened to the last one.
Okay, kind of rude of you to say that was a mistake. That was entirely what I wanted to happen, and it turned out great. So
all the hand putting through me was just revenge.
Oh no, that was
for him going through you last time.
No, it was
no. He really didn't enjoy it.
Oh, I made that happen. That was
he we'll came out quite traumatized. I'm pretty sure he still has PTSD.
Okay, well, thanks. I hate it.
Thanks. That's terrible. Never stop. Great. Yeah. So that happened.
So we're in the square and we're hugging a cloud demon.
Everyone's getting hugged.
Do you know Swift? Are you one of them?
Are you one of them? Wow.
what do you mean by them?
Molly would be straight to the point.
I don't know who Swift is. I'm one of me.
He was a demon of Tretora. You know, the god Tretora of the weather and the elements and stuff.
Then yes, I am a them. Is that what you call us? Thems?
Well, I don't really know. I only met one.
Great.
Banfor leans down real close and says, do you want to see a magic trick?
Yes.
Say no. Say no!
No. Yes.
Do you think you can fit my mouth?
I thought you were going to show me a magic trick. I feel like if I get in your mouth, it's me performing the trick. And
what a Saturday night we're having all of a sudden.
Will I be compensated if I do the trick?
Well, it's interesting to know that upon entering the corporeal realm, you've got an idea of finances.
Ah, well, money's everywhere. You know, capitalism.
What do you use for money in your realm?
Oh, rain droplets. Yep, that's what I'm going with.
I love that. That is canon in your realm.
How are you keeping them separated? Or do you just have, like, is it a weight system?
It's very advanced. I wouldn't expect, you know, a groundling to understand.
Or effective. And using a word of hate like that has really shattered my...
Oh, look, it's not a slur. It's not a slur.
Is that maybe what we are?
I didn't use a hard G at the end. It's fine.
This is gold. I wish every session was just me sitting back with all of you making me laugh.
That's ideally
what happens.
It
doesn't happen very often. I'm sorry about that.
No, thanks for letting us know that we've been terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's like,
do you have a name? Mine's Marley Craft.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard of me, by the way?
Heard of you? No, I don't know anyone here. My name's Atkiss, but yeah, it's that growl and demon that I did before. And
yeah,
demon
yeah.
And in infernal. That's the proper term.
That was scary. I don't know what you said there. I can speak these ones.
Oh no.
And she does common, and then she does dwarvish, and then elvish, and then orc. So it's and she's just going, "Hi, my name is Marley Craft," in all of those languages.
There is a large crowd of people who are still on edge from the fight and the giant wolf, that they are now confused on top of that, and they're starting, some people are leaving, but some are still crowding around to figure out what on earth is going on right now.
Puts out a hand questioningly and says, "Hello, I'm Banfor Watt, and this," and he reaches into the crowd and just grabs a random person and drags them forward, "and this is
Stephen."
It's Stephen, and throws them away and grabs another one and says, "And this right here, this is..."
"Well, Sandra's my name, please let me go, sir."
Throws her away. "All right, everybody, line them up, please, line it up. We're all making friends."
Banfor, I don't think we have...
What?
I think we're causing a bit of a scene.
Bit of a scene?
Yeah, it might be because of the giant Hodge.
Who? Oh, that. Ugh.
And also,
you know what you
they
should
saw
get?
Us
you
kill a
get
person.
A lot.
Did you?
Yeah,
you,
but he was a bit of a prick, wasn't he?
No, I mean, he was, but like, I feel like we've just killed a person and the corpse is still on the ground, and now we're talking to clouds.
Ooh.
And we have a giant
no,
wolf.
Good point.
I mean, with
That's
wings.
My corpse, no one touched
Hodge,
it.
Hodge, you
that
look so pretty
corpse.
With wings. It's going back to
Banfor stomps over to his corpse. And brushes people away, lest they try and steal it from him.
Yep. No, people clear a very wide radius away from you. And you even notice that amongst the crowd are armed city guards who are not encroaching on your position at all. They are just spectators like everyone else.
Banfor knocks on one of their breastplates and says, "All right, mate, got a smoke?"
"Oh, don't smoke myself. Mrs. made me give it up, you know what I'm saying?"
Banfor gets nice and close and goes, "Well, you better go get some, didn't you?"
Roll persuasion or intimidation? What are you trying to do here? Remember, you've got a plus 20 once a day if you do transform into a demon.
I think I'd like to transform into a demon because I rolled a 3. and that's also... so it's a 7, so it's 27.
Okay, so first you need to say the incantation and then describe to me how it looks.
Banfor leans in even closer and whispers in the man's ear, "Who's a spooky boy?" and immediately flares into a jet black mass of tendrils with two slit red eyes that sort of pervade such strong light that, like, beams shoot out of this mass from within. Like, imagine a shell that explodes tentacles.
Well, like Cyclops from X-Men.
Yeah, but with a cycloptic eye within the middle.
Marley elbows Atkiss and says, "Can you do that?"
I already look like a demon.
Yeah, but like that? Like, is that a normal demon thing or is that like a seriously weird demon thing? I don't know. I don't know what demons look like.
You know, everyone comes in all different shapes and sizes. I look kind of embarrassed and like off to the side.
It's gotta be pretty hard to judge in the demon community.
I've only met three, four.
Yeah, you guys have actually met quite a lot of demons.
Five.
Ben, the guard falls over himself backwards. He goes, "Oh, yes, Mister," and then people just scream and run in all directions. and a lot of them follow this guard away to wherever he's going. It's like a stampede away from you.
What I want to know, though, is this Banfor's dudes come back with the meat pie yet?
He sent someone to get a meat pie. Yeah, sure, one of your boys is here with a meat pie. He's just standing nervously in place as people flee, and so he becomes visible as the crowd dissipates. There's just a man standing holding a pie out in one hand. Looks like he's been holding it for ages, like his hand's tired.
Banfor wanders over, cracks it in half and throws half to Hodge.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Marley, how close are you to Hodge's face while you're hugging him?
Yeah, pretty close. I'd still be pretty close. I'm like basically patting his neck this whole time.
Okay.
You know, because I barely can believe he's back. So I just don't want to
He violently whips his head to catch this flying meat pie, and I'd say you get knocked to the ground in the process.
Fair enough.
But then he chews on the meat pie in like half a chew and it's gone. And then he sort of looks at you with a bit of like sorrow in his eyes.
And I just leap up to my feet and give him a hug. And I'm like, "Oh, it's okay, Hodgie. Both of us aren't used to your size."
And then he eats you and you die.
Cool. I go death by Hodge. I'm okay with it.
Banfor's dragged over the corpse of our Patreon subscriber and sort of just is nudging it towards Hodge. Like, "There you go, mate. Off you go."
Okay.
Who's hungry?
Ben Edwards, if you are listening to this episode, here's what I'm going to do.
I'm okay with it. I mean, Hodge is going to be fed somehow.
Hodge is an animal. He's a large animal. He requires fuel. I'm going to roll a d20 to see if Hodge eats you.
People.
I mean, to be honest, it's pretty fresh too, so.
Yeah.
It's also a human man.
This narratively makes sense. So, hang on.
I'm feeling if this by is, it.
If this is below a 7, so if it's 1 to 6, Hodge definitely eats the body of Ben Edwards.
Okay, also, I'm really excited to break Hodge within 10 minutes of him appearing.
If this is a 7 to 12, he sniffs it and gives it a really good thought and then decides not to. If it's 13 up, he decides, "No, I'm not eating a dead person."
Yeah.
Flat out.
Okay.
So if it's that 7 to 12...
That's a 10. So he comes over, he gives it a good sniff, and you think he's definitely going to eat this body. And he starts like moving around with his nose a little bit, like playing with his food. Yeah, checking it out. And then he sort of takes a few steps back, and you get the impression like he's just saying, no.
So the door's still open for the future. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Marley processes that for a second.
How is Akis reacting to any of this?
It's pretty intense. lots of new things happening here. Is that customary? I have a question. If someone says that they are vegan or vegetarian, right, but then like the person that's being the food that's being eaten submits to being eaten, is that still veganism?
Yes.
Like in a cannibalistic way, if someone is like, "You can cannibalize me," and you eat them, is that still vegan?
No.
There was no animal suffering involved.
I'd say that it's moral carnivorism. I mean, it's factually not vegan, but it's ideologically vegan.
Yeah, is the morality problem that it's a meat that we don't eat because we don't eat it because we are it? Is that the problem? Or is it
consent?
Because it's meat?
Right, because I had a vegan tell me the other day they would eat another person, and like I would eat animals, but I wouldn't eat another person, and I don't know
who they're talking about.
Like, this feels like an extension of the cum argument.
Were they talking about eating another person? You know what I mean? Like there are two different
eating out and eating in.
Yeah, wink, wink, wink. No, I don't think it was sexual, but it could have been.
Oh no, like it's the same with like sexual eating. Like if you know that's. Technically vegan, apparently. Swallowing is vegan.
Yeah, so that's what's happening here with the dog.
But technically that's an animal produce, isn't it?
Who's eating the dog? Which is Hodge vegan?
No, Hodge just made a choice, a reluctant choice to not eat the human.
Yeah. In front.
But if Ben Edwards was vegan...
Well, he was, he, if you eat a vegan, then that's not a crime.
Would he submit to being eaten?
Would he submit to being eaten by Hodge?
Right, drop me an email, Ben.
Let us know for future. We'll just cart the body around and
I intend to bring it with. There's a lot of things you can do with a body. All of them fun. Some of them sexy.
Yeah.
This is going places I didn't expect.
He's a Patreon subscriber.
He knows all about what Bamford does with bodies. Yes. I'm half expecting the hands to be cut off and put on the horns on his helmet.
I have moved past hand hats. I have moved past it. Thank you. I've evolved. I now have sentient mice to do my bidding. That's true. I will be feeding it to them.
Which is fine. I mean, we don't we don't have pigs, right? Or hogs.
Bamfor it sort of drags off Ben Edwards to one of the ever-growing termite mound constructions on the sides of buildings around the town. Kicks a big hole in it and sort of stuffs him halfway in.
Feed him to the horde?
Yeah, feed him to the horde.
Oh my god, you are ruining this city. This is grotesque. And I hate it and love it at the same time.
and I look over at Kiss and I'm like, oh, Bamfor has an army of pet mice and he feeds them. Weird stuff sometimes.
They're very friendly.
Not
would you like normal? Would you like one?
But we accept it.
Would I like a mouse?
Would you like a mouse? Do you know what a mouse is?
No. What's
it's like a
mouse?
Dog, but smaller and better. Oi, oi! Bamfor emits a fun whistle.
Roll animal handling.
Do I get at least advantage? Because I gave them life.
Roll animal handling.
Well, luckily
that's
now.
A 19.
It's a 19. Yep, a mouse heeds your call. A mouse heeds your call and it runs right to you and up your leg and then out along your extended arm and it rests in your palm and looks at you expectantly.
What's he like?
It's just a typical grey-brown mouse. It's not clothed. It's not anything outside of a regular-looking mouse.
Bamfor holds up the hand and says, "That's a mouse."
Can I take it? I want to hold it.
That's your mouse. Mouse, you're hers. He doesn't know what you're saying, but if you hold him for long enough, he probably won't run away anymore. If you have any nuts or grains on you, he will eat them. Also, mouse poos look like nuts and grains, so be aware of that.
Not my nuts and grains.
What? Not my nuts and grains. My nuts and grains, my collection.
My scroggin, no.
Where are you keeping that? Is your backpack clouds too?
Do you have a backpack?
Do I have clothing? That's such a good question.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was just like, do you?
Yeah. I'm gonna leave the mechanics of Atkiss's external features and requirements entirely in JD's hands.
Okay. I have an armor class, so I must be wearing armor.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, you could have just like sort of natural armor in that your body can become incorporeal at opportune times. Like someone tries to stab a knife at you and the section they're stabbing just dissipates and then reappears.
It does make it hard to hit, which would make your armor class higher, so.
This is my opportunity to be always naked. I reckon probably I avoid wearing too many clothes because I do become incorporeal in parts, but, you know, maybe there'll be a fun hat for me later on. Who knows?
Cool.
I did have a thought, and I'll run this by you to see if you guys like it all collectively as a group, in that with Atkiss's lineage being that of a cloud demon with a semi-corporeal form, they can't fly, but they can sort of be swept up in the jet stream of flying things.
Can they be conveniently pushed by thunder waves? But without
can they not be put in a big bag?
Do you have a feel?
Like, if they were just on the edge of my thunder wave and I'm wall of forcing and stuff, if the force hits, can they be swept with that?
I am, as a DM, 100% on board with any shenanigans that you all agree on regarding Atkus's interesting corporeal form.
Because that could be quite a fun thing.
My goal at this point is to be a kite.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, well, we could stuff you inside a balloon and warm you up, and then we
also,
have.
Also, you could probably just ride around on Hodge and just drop off at convenient points.
You couldn't get on Hodge. You might be able to get in Hodge. So.
But I feel like you'd just be able to, like.
You could be stowed.
No, I feel like if Hodge's wings are flapping and stuff, then there'll be like a slipstream, right? Like, you could just kind of ride in there.
Or that's what I had into a kite.
Yeah.
That's what I had in mind, because I did specify Hodge is large enough to be ridden by two people. And I thought, how could this third person be incorporated? I know, they are as light as wind.
That would be cool.
Yes, but also,
incorporeal. No.
Oliver,
I mean, I'm not at home in a fantasy world because of my erectile dysfunction. However, I feel strongly that the bag option is the most in line with normal physics. However, twice, however squared, we're here to have fun, so I'll try not to be too much about it.
Party pooper.
Although a bag could double as a parachute.
A bag, this is what I'm thinking, you know, is that we have a potentially lighter than air amigo. So for those of us who don't want to ride on an abomination unto God, there could be a hot air balloon scenario. So that would be fun.
You just want a different transportation method. I'm... We'll take separate cars.
Atkus isn't a bundle of hot air.
Well, she can be warmed.
They.
Are your pronouns waft and breeze?
Ah, yes, the two genders, clouds.
My pronouns are.
And, please, can we make that canon in your realm, Atkus? That the two there's a binary system of waft and breeze. I'm a waft and I'm a breeze.
No, I mean obviously any sort of cloud. Base system has to be fluid.
Okay.
Well, it would be, I mean, a water demon obviously would be much more gender fluid. How are you?
Yeah, we're more gender gaseous.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Look, it's all a state of being, isn't it?
It's one of the three. Four, because your boy always forgets about plasma, which is one of the matter.
You three are fun. I like.
Let's move the story along. Therefore, is stuffing a body into a mouse termite mind, and Atkus has
D's to every word that ends in an N.
Shush. And Atkus has a mouse running around in them.
My best friend.
Yep.
On.
Around.
On. In. I don't know. Yes. That's Atkus's choice. Meanwhile, you know, Marley's like petting Hodge and thinking about where they're gonna hide Hodge.
I feel like Hodge. I just pull it my body and I just like take the mouse and I just like tuck it in like I've got a little pocket up in my, like if I had a shirt there, that's where it would be. And I tuck the mouse in there and he just like, he's sitting in there for now.
If you're like cloud, then you can make things, right? Like, you can just make it look like you have things on.
Yeah, you ever been cloud watching? Clouds can look like all kinds of things.
We can put you in a trench coat and a hat and a scarf and pretend that you're a man, like in Flubber.
That is too crazy.
Okay, don't do that. That's too crazy.
Just tone it down a bit, okay?
Are you good at sneaking? Do you have good sneak stats?
You'd think.
A cloud rogue?
I think I am a cleric because you know, when you live with the literal gods, it's kind of hard not to believe in them. peer pressure.
Well, this is like your Rumspringer.
Does that mean you have healing?
I do, yes, I believe.
Oh yeah. My god. Brad, did we just get a player with healing so we don't have to die?
When I helped to build this character, I focused mostly on weather-based magic for obvious reasons. But I'm pretty sure there are healing things in there too.
Yeah, I think I've got, like, cure wounds.
That's maybe. Very exciting. Because I have cure wounds, but it's...
On that note, I'm at 22 hit points of nearly 70.
I'm going to... So we're going to go back to the Necropodicon and try and house Hodge somewhere and rest, thing.
Which... Are we sort of equidistant between Necropodicon and my literal kingdom?
You are in the middle of the city, so which is kind of the merchant's district, so I would say you're probably much closer to the Necro. But your kingdom borders this area anyway, so you're sort of equidistant to the Necropodicon as you are to the edge of the Vice District.
Banfor sort of wanders over to the nearest barricade, demarcating the Vice Kingdom. The Kingdom of Vice, and sort of just has a bit of a chit-chat and asks them if they wouldn't mind just pushing the barricade a bit closer to the Necropodicon.
just taking over the Merchant's District too.
There's going to be problems. Marley's not going to allow that.
Just pushing it a bit closer.
Banfor, these are good people. You can't just take their businesses into the Vice District. That's not how this works.
What do you mean? That's exactly how this works. We've got more people.
You can't take these people's businesses and their houses and remove them from them. That's not how it works.
I didn't say I was going to do that. It just means that they've got a wall to their left instead of their right.
Do you think that they want that? You have to have a conversation with them.
All right. Oi! Banfor kicks down the door to the nearest shop.
Oh, my.
Okay, you walk into a store, you kick down the door, and it looks like it is a pottery and china and generally things that utilities and things you would use to eat and cook.
Banfor walks directly up to the person behind the counter.
It's a very kindly looking old human woman. She's very old, like 90 plus.
And knocks gently on the counter. Excuse me, madam. How are you?
Marley is right behind him, by the way.
Oh, so you followed? Where's Hodge and where's Atkus?
I'm trailing along behind.
Hodge is... I told Hodge stay. And just marched in behind Banfor.
Okay, Hodge just sits in the middle of town with people avoiding him.
Good evening, old face. How good are you?
That's not... My name is Gertrude. That's not a nice thing to say to me. My face is old because I'm old. Your face is silly because you're silly.
Well, I mean, it looks like we're both throwing insults back and forth. So, I mean, who's really got the upper hand here? By the by, have you noticed all those barricades going up?
I have. It's a horrible business. They're
Aren't they? Don't you wish they would move?
I would wish they would go away.
Absolutely. Well, move them. I'll move one right away if you like.
No, 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 say no.
Are you the person who's gonna clean up our street to get rid of those horrible barriers?
Well, I mean, about the barriers is the streets are actually cleaner behind them. Also, I notice you've got a limp. Have you heard of universal healthcare?
That is not a thing, Banfor.
No, because you won't feel that limp, because, lady, I will give you so many of these little fun pills that you'll fly to your grave.
My grandson takes those. It makes him act all crazy.
Doesn't it, Jess? Would you like to try one?
Queen Shan of Bruss is already looking after these businesses. They do not need you. You don't need to own everything. That is not how business works.
I don't want to own everything. I just like having barricades.
I'm so confused. Is anyone going to buy some pottery?
Yes, I'll buy some pottery. All right? Far. Banfor picks up a stack of plates and puts them on the counter, breaking most of them.
Oh, that took a lot of work to make those.
Well, here's a lot of money then, and drops a handful of gold pieces on her.
Oh, thank you very much. But what are you doing with these barriers?
I was going to move one. Do you want them moved?
He's not going to move them.
Yes,
I was
yes,
going to move them back, so I won't move them back. Where shall I move them?
No, do not tell him to move them because it'll take over your shop.
I won't take over your shop. I don't want pottery.
I don't want anyone taking over my shop. My family's on this
can
shop.
Can we just go, please? You do not need to move the barriers closer. You have the vice district. That is enough. And what Marley actually wants to roll, like, intimidation or whatever to get him to stop.
Okay, what's that thing over there? Pointing at Atticus.
Oh, actually, how big's your biggest pot?
You can't just call me a thing.
So rude.
Well, she doesn't know. She just sees clouds standing behind these people.
Right. And Marley goes, that's Atticus. Then you here. And then turns back.
Inquires as to her largest pot.
She points over to the right side of the, or her right side of the room, and there is a huge glazed clay pot that's like a giant witch's cauldron, basically.
Does it have a stopper?
I would say it doesn't have a stopper.
I think it's probably fine. Yeah, so Bamfor sort of buys it and drags it outside.
Okay, she tells you it costs 10 gold.
Bamfor has already given her several gold and gives her a look.
So he just takes it.
Yeah.
Goes, I've already paid for this. Yeah, you just drag it out. You now own a giant pot. Well done. Yep. We've finished D&D.
I won the
campaign,
game.
Right? That's what we were supposed to do today.
Get it's pots and pots.
Outside,
and
there's a general banging, scraping noise as the barricades are pushed forward.
No, Marley would never let that over. Happen. I'm telling you right now, I would fight him and take him down if he tried.
Looks over. No,
I wouldn't let you.
And signals to stop.
Yeah, you better, because I would, like, I'm ready to fight. I don't even care that I've only got 6 head hit points. I would go down for that.
Bamfor glumly sits in his pot.
By the way, I rolled an 18 on my
what
roll
for?
To get him
to intimidate
like,
him.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
You tell me. Roll,
that I was rolling.
Roll, yeah, 18 intimidation, roll a wisdom save, I guess, to not be intimidated.
Yeah, so or 18 on the wisdom. Dice plus 8. So 26.
Well, that's a natural one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marley successfully intimidates you into stopping.
What was the... Oh, wisdom. I have a -1, so it's a 0.
Against my 26.
I think I hurt myself in my brain.
You're just sitting on a pot.
He's just sitting in a pot. Glumly.
Is she intimidating, or is he intimidated?
Well, are we intimidating?
Marley would have been real feisty looking there. She would have been raging. On behalf of all the business owners. Including the Necropoticon, by the way, which I'm trying to buy. And the Vice District really would have just not helped my clientele.
Bamfor's sitting in the pot, just muttering, like, you know... Burn this whole city down. I don't even want it. I didn't even want to move the barricades. I'll burn it all down. I don't care. I just want to move a barricade. It's fucking, this is being mean for no reason. Just an old lady being mean about my face, and you know, everyone's being mean. Like clouds showing up for no reason. Why is there a cloud here? Why has a dog got wings? I don't know. He's got dog with wings. I can't move a barricade.
Can I conjure like? I don't even know if I can do this. I want to make like a little rain cloud over his head while he's doing this. Let me just check.
I believe you have the cantrip thaumaturgy.
I do have it, yeah.
But I will also, just for flavor sake only, grant you minor magics like that. Like little flavor things you can do with weather. I'll just allow.
Cool. I want to make it like the cartoon rain cloud over his head.
Are you in a shape?
Yeah
I'm humanoid. I got little horns and little arms and 2 eyes, a nose and a mouth.
So you're like defined enough to have fingers?
It like probably like ghostly, I would imagine. Like I'm a fog. Or like I'm in a fog. But I am the fog.
You're fog in a what?
I am the fog.
I am the fog. You know, like when you see someone in a fog and they're hard to see, but also
because
I am the fog.
So, like, you know how Batman is the night, but he's also Batman?
I,
I'm the fog.
I'm an eye.
I'm Fogman. I'm Cloud Demon.
Fogman.
I am Fogman.
Is that like your persona now?
My parents are dead.
They've just been standing there watching Bamfor and I argue, and they've been like practicing who they are.
I don't know who I am. I've got amnesia. The only like solution to this is that I've got to become a vigilante that saves the world. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense, right? It's really the only logical conclusion.
Basic storytelling.
Got an alter ego who just wears a hat, then takes off the hat. Oh my god, is that Fogman?
It's John Fogman.
John
but
Fogman.
I gotta disguise my voice, otherwise people will know who I am.
Just takes up a mustache and trilby. It is I, John Fogman, all along.
But
attorney
by day.
At law.
Attorney
John
at law.
Fogman, attorney at law.
By day, wispy philanthropist. No, I can't even say it.
Weatherman.
Weatherman. Okay. Okay, actually though, small town weatherman.
Yeah. He's town to town selling weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Weather sales, door-to-door weather sales.
Yeah.
Hey, you look like you could do with some rain.
Hey there.
Do you know
How
what?
Are
like,
you, young lad?
I reckon if someone could do that, if someone could legitimately go around and do like a rain dance, like people would very much pay for that.
Oh this yeah, 100%.
The story.
Anyway, we're back in the middle of an alleyway outside or near the Necropodicon. See my role in this? I argue with Ben for a lot and then I try and get us back on track.
Wait, I'm gonna take us off track for like 1 second and just say that the other day I did do a rain dance, because this is relevant to the conversation. I did a rain dance because someone cancelled on me, and me and a lot of other people, so my friend and I did a rain dance, and then it got really cloudy and rained that evening, so
nice.
I'm not saying that I am the cloud demon, but I am Fogman.
We're basically at the end of an episode that has had nothing happen but hilarity. This has been very, very funny. And I like that we are back into the thick of Bamfor and Marley being at each other's throats for opposing ideologies, which is where we left off in Chapter 3.
It is indeed.
Do you guys have anywhere you want to take this before we wrap up?
Somewhere that makes sense. What are we doing?
You guys need to rest, right? You're like very low health.
Yeah, we need to rest. But like as we're walking, and Marley's called Hodge by her old whistle, and I imagine like Hodge like standing up and like running after us is kind of like duh, 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 duh. I don't know why.
I'll get you to roll animal handling for that as well.
Yeah, fair.
Did she get any advantage with Hodge, or can she make mistakes?
I just rolled a 19, and I have +5, so.
I was considering giving advantage, and then I thought no, because Oliver didn't. Oh, Bamfor didn't have it with the mouse.
Yeah.
So you don't get it with Hodge. But yeah, that's a high enough roll that yeah, he leaps into action and charges through the streets to catch up with you, and people scream and flee because. He is essentially an abomination.
Yeah, I'm aware, but I don't care. He's my hunter, and I love him. And he's Clydesdale-sized, so I'm heading to the stables at the Necropodicon.
Okay. Cool.
I have decided to name my mouse.
Fogman?
No, I'm going to name it Rain, because it's my treasure and it's our currency.
Rainman.
I love that. I love that so much. That is fantastic.
Jules 2. One time I named
Two Jules
mouse...
2 Furious.
Jules 2.
Actually,
Jules
that
Boogaloo.
Should be the name of this episode. Two Jules, Two Furious. Because Marley got real mad.
Two Jules, quite furious. One time I named a mouse that was a hero mouse, Mouseildor. And Brad didn't get it. And that bugs me daily.
I don't know why I'm telling you this specifically. I think it was just a way to bring up the time that Brad made me angry.
Past grievances. The rain cloud's like still over your character.
Yeah, it's still moving.
Yeah.
I'm rapidly filling pot full of tears and rain.
How are you walking salty. In the pot?
I wasn't walking.
Oh, right, you're staying there. Okay, cool. Molly just yelled at you. I'm going to the Necropodicon. You can go into the eventually, Vice District. And then she yells over her shoulder again at Bamfort. There is nothing wrong with you having the Vice District. I'm very proud of you for taking over a district and running it so well. I just don't think you need all of them, okay?
Bamfort gets out of the pot and sort of like Charlie Brown walks after her. And like just grumbling and like kicking at rocks and boo. And then at some point a guard will show up with a pack of cigarettes, which will be quite nice.
Okay. Yeah, we
and
will...
about the 30 people that followed him.
They
all
just
gone to get cigarettes.
They just fled. They saw him running and chose to run too. So yeah, we will wrap this up by tying up those little stories. Yes, Bamfor, you just sit and wait, and eventually a guard finds you and has a pack of cigarettes. It's not an regular pack of cigarettes. It's like a box that he's made himself of cigarettes he's rolled himself out of desperation. He couldn't find what you needed. So he's like, here, is this okay? And then he gives it to you and just runs.
Bamfor looks at them, doesn't really remember asking for them. Sort of puts them in a pocket and says to himself, what a strange man.
Marley took Hodge to the Necropodicon. Did you try and take Hodge in or go straight to some other... Because he wouldn't fit through the door, but did you try?
No. So I've decided that the Necropodicon has stables, because that makes sense to me.
It has a very small stable for like suitable for one guest who has a horse.
Yeah, cool. So that's where Hodge is. If there is a horse already in it, she's taken the horse out and tied it to the front.
Okay, you've tied someone else's horse to the front of the Necropodicon.
Yeah, she's gone inside to ask whose horse it is and is like giving them their money back or whatever on the stabling.
Okay, you find there's just some traveling salesman, traveling merchant.
Like, I'm just like, Tyler, find whose horse that is and just give them their money back. I have reasons. I'll explain them later.
Oh, okay, Marley. He paid for his horse to be there, but okay.
No, I don't give him the money back. His horse isn't in the stables anymore.
Maybe it'll be okay if I take it to some other stable on the other side of the merchant's district.
Well,
maybe.
Explain it to him before you steal his horse without talking to him, Tyler. Like, think this through. Also, is my money still under the mattress, or did you take it?
I haven't got around to taking anything. That was only like an hour ago.
Okay, cool. I need to talk to Paul.
Cool, and we will close with Atkus. Which character of these two, if any, are you choosing to follow, or are you just going to go and be a blank slate out in the world learning about your surroundings?
Right, I just spend... the next 20 years discovering what Earth is. No, I think I'd probably follow along with Jules's character because she seems like she's in charge.
Bamfort is also following Jules. He's also following Marley.
Just slower.
Just
Charlie
Brownie.
For a bit, yeah. For his cigarettes.
Okay.
I will have sorted all of the horse, the Hodge drama, horse drama before he gets there, probably.
Yeah, he knows his way to the Necropodicon, and so you could be long gone before he ends up following. Cool. So, lastly, Atkus, when you enter the inn, what is your immediate reaction of being inside a place?
Oh, it's warm in here. And that's it.
Not a lot of air, though. Not a lot of representation for air.
There's not a lot of precipitation in here, and I'm not sure how to feel about it, but we'll see.
Cool. I love it. That is great. That gives us a good place to pick up next time when I figure out how to railroad you guys into the next big story arc.
Well, at least that way we're all in the same place. We haven't said our ending episode, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, we haven't been really in the habit of doing that very much. We're going to have to do that for the live shows.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
The end of the episode.
Episode.
So that's Arcus, everybody. I don't know why we switched from saying Arcus to saying Atkus partway through the episode. Did you notice that? That was really weird. But yeah, it's definitely Arcus, A-R-C-U-S, for anyone who wants to write it down for any purposes. I don't know. Are you writing fanfic? That'd be pretty cool. Write some fanfic. Notice how I said fanfic instead of fanfiction? I'm one of the cool kids. Hashtag Brad is one of the cool kids. Anyway, will Banfor and Marley ever get along? Maybe Arcus will help them even out in the adventures to come. What will happen while they're relaxing at the Necropodicon Inn? I wonder if any live shows will happen. That would be weird, right? Big thank you to our awesome supporters over on Patreon. They are Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyce, Sasha Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziggler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dela, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift, and Ben Edwards. Anybody else who wants to show your support for the show, head on over to patreon.com/fateofison to learn about the various reward tiers. And of course, while you're at it, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are all at Fate of Ison, or email fateofison@gmail.com. Or head on over to the Necropodicon Network Discord server to chat with us in real time. There's a link to that on our website, fateofison.com. All right, see you next week for the live shows, everybody. DM Brad out.
Hello, hello, hello! This is Spencer from the Roleplay Guys hopping in here for a quick bumper. As you know, the Roleplaying Guys podcast is a proud member of the Necropodicon Podcast Network. This network is home to a lot of other great shows too. For example, you may be curious what a podcast sounds if it were run by an evil villain. You'd definitely love the show A Necessary Evil. Or maybe you really love watching indie films and you want to hear some funny dudes chat about them. Check out the Indie Film Review. What about a show that reminisces about the good old times of growing up, teasing the children that we used to be? Then check out the show Grow Out of It. The Necropodicon Network is a little Garden of Eden, producing the world with a wonderful crop of shows. The Necropodicon Network. Hard to say, easy to listen.
Greetings, PodQuesters. I am Court Hawkins, famous bard of the podcast Intelligence Check. Intelligence Check is set in a Tolkien-esque world where our party members are forced by fate down the road of adventure. Literally, fate is physically forcing us. We keep trying to walk away, but the damn thing never lets up. Now I know what you're saying. Another D&D podcast? But trust me, I'm worth listening to. I mean, we're worth listening to. And doesn't this accent make you just want to trust me? Intelligence Check celebrates the camaraderie of lifelong friends, joking around a table while remaining true to their characters and story. We bring you short, bi-weekly adventures full of action, banter, too many tentacles, and a naked dwarf. Oh, dear God, someone please put some clothes on that dwarf. So roll an intelligence check, because the show you're listening to now is awesome, but you'll need something to hold you over while you wait for new episodes. Oh, come on, is that really the tagline we're using?